Good morning to everybody again. Like I always say, I'm so glad and thankful that Pastor Steve and Jim let me not teach, but I'm going to trying to share what God is putting on my heart today. And a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing a little bit of be not afraid, do not afraid. And months ago, I was doing a little bit of faith. So I was sharing some things that happened to my life, to my marriage life, to my kids' life. So since Steve asked me 3 or 4 weeks ago if I was going to be able to be here today, I said, sure. So I was trying to find, I was asking God what to share today, and like Jim was saying, that I was, I'm trying to share what God is putting in my heart today. And I'm sorry if I'm, some words of my pronunciation is not good sometimes, because when I do it, both in Spanish and English, so I find words in Spanish that I wanted to use. So sometimes I'm thinking in Spanish, and because we were, like you know, most of you know, we came with my wife and kids, it's gonna be 2 years ago next week. So it's been grateful. Yeah. Yeah, it feels like that. My kids are like, they are just enrolled in everything, school, sports, here in BBS and soccer academy and everything. Like, it looks like they were born here. So we were really grateful and probably, yeah, who knows, my mom, Sharon DeLeo, knows that the main reason that we came here was to, it is to take care of her. And we're trying to keep her moving as much as we can. And like today we brought the walker so she can be able to use the walker. She uses it at home. Sometimes she's like, I don't want to say lazy, but sometimes she's like probably tired to use her strength and her muscles on her arms to move around. But we want her to move as much as she can. So I want to ask you to keep her in your prayers. Yeah, her mind is so good right now, and I will share some things later on. There's a lot of things on my heart, on my mind that I want to share. Probably it's not going to be enough time today, but I will also when I ask you everybody to participate, I'm going to ask you to read some verses on the Bible. Today I've got the verses on the screen, but I don't have it on the screen. Just the where it's going to be found. So I want you to in your Bible find a verse in the Bible I'm going to ask you to read, and that way you can help me reading, and I will do some points that I have on each one. So like I said, thank you again. So today I'm going to share a little bit of grace of God, or the God's how God's plan are perfect in our lives. And not probably when I was a kid, my plans were other ones on my mind, probably, and during the years, started doing the path the way that God wanted to be. So today I'm going to share a little bit of my salvation or my testimony. Like, I remember when I was a kid, I shared a little bit of you when I was a kid from my house. My mother always pray and always ask God and things like that. So I'm going to share a little bit since from my age of 17 years old. I was attending church in my hometown with a little group of guys, probably older than I, most of it. And very nice group to feel the presence of the Lord. And at that age, I made a decision to publicly accept Jesus Christ on my heart. And so it feels good. And after that, I got baptized in my church. But I remember before that, when I was like 13 or 14 years old, I asked Mom about what was God, the purpose of God, the purpose of my life, and what was God's plan. And she was praying all the time with me. And so I was like, I think I shared with you last time that my brother came here to the States when I was 13 years old. So we were two boys, and I was alone with my dad, with my parents at home. So I would feel like sad the first couple of weeks, couple of months. So I was like alone in my room because we were sharing the room. And so I asked mom, what is the purpose of my life or what it's going to be? And she was, how God wisdom and everything let me be calm and not be afraid at night to be alone or anything. So it was a lot of things going on. So I'm going back from when I was 17. So I remember one verse in the Bible. I'm going to read it. It's in Isaiah 40:31. I'm going to read it. That I remember this when I was before I was getting baptized. So it says, it's Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall never renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So the point here is that how to trust in the Lord will experience renewal and or strength. Like uses the image of an eagle soaring and running without fatigue or fatigue to illustrate the kind of power and endurance that comes from waiting on God. So also it's like suggests that through faith believers can overcome weariness and find the strength to persevere in their spiritual journey. So the point is just like, it's not just a passive waiting, but it's like an active trusting dependence on God. It's not just a physical renewal, it's like a spiritual one. Eagles are known for their powerful wings and ability to effortlessly rise above the earth. Similarly, those who wait on the Lord will be lifted above their difficulties, gaining a new perspective and overcoming obstacles. I'm pointing this because I was almost at age 17. I was almost ready to go to college. So I wanted to know if to feel like the passage says, like the renewal is strange on my not only my body but on my spiritual way. So because I was going to move to the city, it was like 5-6 hours away from home. And so I went to feel like what is going to be next. So before I moved to the city, I got baptized. There, I am under the water. It's too bad I have another picture, but I don't know where it is. We were trying to find it without a couple of weeks ago. So this was on the public swimming pool and in my hometown place. And the water, imagine the temperature there all year long is around 70s and 80s. And in mornings, it's always around 45, 50 all mornings, every morning. So the water at noon, it's cold. So it was really cold. I remember that. But the grace of God gave me the opportunity to be baptized underwater. So I wanted to share that before I moved to the city. It is a long story for everything God has done in my life with my family now, from attending church in the city that I was born. And I'm going to share, that's the verse that I read. So I'm going to share a little bit of, here's most of the U.S. map. You can see most of you, there's Harrisonville on top, and here is Guatemala down. So I'm going to, here's where we were living with my family, with where I was born. So there's Guatemala. I was born here, all the way to the west, next to Mexico, next to the Pacific Ocean. And here's where Aura was born, all the way to the east. Guatemala is a little bit smaller than the Missouri state. It's like probably more, a little more than like this is more than Missouri, and here's Guatemala City, just in the central of the country. So I was ready to go from San Marcos, that my place to get birth, that I was born and raised, to go to Guatemala, and without knowing that I was going to meet this this is Aura and I. Oh, this is in the late 80s, and we were growing in that, so far away. We didn't know we were gonna meet. We were gonna meet later on, and so I'm gonna share a little of grace here. So how to moving from. To move into the city, to study in college, I was attending church, very close where I was living here, there in Guatemala City. And the thing, it was the same Christian church denomination that I was attending in my hometown. And the pastor who led that church, it is how the plans of God were planted. Like, when I was in sixth grade, they used to have like a graduation, like getting out of elementary school down in Guatemala. So the name of our graduation name was the name of one pastor, and this pastor was leading this church in Guatemala. And without knowing that, 7 years after I get out of elementary school, I went to Guatemala City, and I found this church close to where I was living, and the pastor was the one that they was invited to my sixth grade graduation event. So it was like, what was the chance to do that? So I was with him, and like 2 years after I was there, he passed away. And the pastor who was moving to that church, it was the brother of our pastor from our hometown church. The brother of, not brother in Christ, but brother in, born, how you say born brother. So, and on this church, there was a lot of young youth like here. There was a lot of kids and already college guys. So I met this guy, and he is from the other side of the country where Aura was born. And the funny thing is, I started getting with him, got a good relation, good friendship, and through him, his family was one of the best friends of Aura's parents. So I got a chance. So he was living with another guy in an apartment, and one of his friends got married, and one went back from school. I was the same. I was renting a house in the city with two other friends. One get back, he didn't continue college. The other one started working and moved with another family. So I was almost gonna be alone in the house. I was not gonna be able to pay all the rent for the house by myself. So at the same time, happened the same time. So we went to his place to see how it was. He went to my place to see what it was. And we decided to move to one house, to the place that I was living. It was bigger. And at that time, one of my cousins came to the city too. And so he moved out with us. And probably next year of that, his sister moved up too to the house. We have a lot of rooms. And his sister's friends was Aura. So sometimes she invited Aura to the house, and I met her. So I'm gonna read this. So in the city of Puerto Varios, with Aura was from all the way to the east, and I was from the east, from the west. Like I said, we became friends with this guy, and to him, I met a very beautiful young woman who later became my girlfriend, the love of my life, and mother of my children. And there's a lot of story yet to be told. So, it is incredible how God had purposed from how being raised and grow up in the church from all the way to the west, and then in the middle on half of the country, and then going to the east after we got married. So I'm going to ask from Theresa if you can read Ephesians 2:8-9, and then Pam, 1 Corinthians 15:10.
Ephesians 2:8-9. For by by grace are ye saved through faith, and not that not of works. We'll try this again. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
1 Corinthians 15:10.
But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
So the grace of God refers to God's unmerited favor and kindness bestowed upon humanity, particularly in the form of salvation and the spiritual blessings. It is a gift freely given, not something earned or deserved. The concept emphasizes God's generosity and love, offering forgiveness and a relationship with Him despite human shortcomings. So grace is following God's kindness of generosity extended to humanity. Grace is rooted in God's love and desire to restore a relationship with humanity. It is a manifestation of His goodness and willingness to forgive. And while I keep reading, Pam, would you read this one, Romans, and then Emmett and Titus? And while grace is essentially for salvation, it is also encompasses other aspects of God's favor, such as His provision, protection, and guidance in daily life. Common grace refers to God's blessings given to all people, regardless of their relationship with Him. Would you read Romans 5:20?
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
So here's like how God's grace is greater than sin and available to all. Please, Amen, would you read Titus 2:11?
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeared to all men.
So here's like how God's grace is offering to all people, regardless of background, of circumstances, and Tracy, would you read 2 Corinthians 12:9, please?
Yes. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
So this verse shows how God's grace empowers believers to overcome challenges and experience His strength in their lives. I'm going to share right now how God's plan in our life. Like I was saying, what was the God's plan in my life? Growing up in another town, going to the city. This is the family of the guy. This is my friend and most of his family. Our parents are all the way to the right. This was before we were not even engaged there. We were just dating. We were dating that time. Here's some other pictures that when we were just dating there. I remember those pictures. And I'm going to point something here, like probably Faith. I remember that trip. She was working for a company that was traveling to the north part of Guatemala to Petén next to the ruins, and we were going to stop to eat in some place, and she knew the place, and she said, okay, it's going to be here like 5 more miles. Then happened 5, 6, 7, 10 miles, nothing. It's going to be there next four or five miles. She knew where it was, but it was like, listen, the track or where we were or not, anyway, we got just on time to the place to eat because they were going to close at 4, and we got there at like 3:45, and we went and asked if the kitchen was still open or not, because we only have like snacks in the car, like cookies and crackers and drinks and stuff. We didn't have a meal yet. So I was going with her to the place that she was working. She was supervising some company. So I was working in my hometown. I was working like 20 days straight, and I was getting out 8 days a month. So every month I was traveling to go see her every time. Sometimes it was longer than every month. Every 2 months, depends on how much I was working. I was working with a friend that was architect. He was my teacher in high school. So when I was, that was, these pictures, most of the, I think, are when I was already out of college. So I went back to my hometown to do an apprenticeship that we need to do before graduation. And then I started working with this architect that I was, he was my teacher. And so I was working with him, like I said, 3 weeks a month and getting out 1 week. So I was traveling all the way to see her. So I would, like I said, I was pointing this picture because it was like, grace, faith, that we were gonna stop next and get a meal, and we were just having fun together all the time. So I want to ask Chuck if you can read. Mary. Jeremiah 21:11. Then Chuck Proverbs 3:5-6, and then Carol Romans 8:29-11. Yes.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
So in this verse, offers assurance that God has a plan for His people, one that is ultimately for their God. Chuck, will you read Proverbs 3:5-6?
Proverbs, I got five.
Yeah, Proverbs 3:5-6. 3, or you're going to, if somebody else has it, then we're going to ask you another one, Chuck.
It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
So these verses encourage believers to trust in God's guidance and wisdom in all aspects in our lives. Carol, would you read Romans 8:28, please?
Yes, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose.
So, and then next I'm going to ask Aminta to read Ephesians 1:11. So, in the verse that Carol just read, this verse provides comfort and hope, reminding believers that even difficult circumstances can ultimately be used for God with God's plan.
In
whom?
Also, we have a sign in there. In here.
Inheritance.
Inheritance. Predestinated. according to the purpose of him working among things after the portion of his own will.
So this verse emphasizes that God's plans is purposeful and that He is actively working to fulfill it. So this verse offering a glimpse into the rich tapestry of God's grace and His sovereign plan for His people. They encourage trust in His love, mercy and guidance, and they remind the believers that even in the midst of life's challenge, He is working in all things together for their good. So I'm going to share another more pictures where we were. This is when I was back, like I said, back from school, from college to be with my parents. There's my dad and my mother, and that was in 2004. Here are some other ones that Aura visited us finally with us. Nah, she used to come too. Not only I was traveling, she used to come and visit me. And there's dad, my mom, Aura, and I. And if you notice all the plants and the flowers, like I said, all year long was like springtime. So my dad, after he got retired, after he got retired, he was investing so much time on the plants, on the flowers. That was like his
passion.
That was like his passion to do it every day, every morning, like twice a year. He did this with manure and a lot of things to have soil for the plants. So it was like all like organic, everything that he used for the plants. We also have a lime tree that it was giving limes all year long. It was blessed. So, and then that was our day that we got married with Aura. And it was warm. It was outside. It was warm because we got married the place that she was raised and born and raised. That, like I said, it was next to the Atlantic Ocean, so it was at sea level. So it was June and it was hot, but we enjoyed it with all the family. And my family from here went to visit. There's Saura's parents to the left, and there's my brother, my mom, and my brother's wife and the kids. That was 16 years ago. Okay, so there's about encouraging verses about God's plan for our life. Do you want to read?
Kathy.
Kathy, sorry. No? Okay, so I would ask you to read Esther 4:14, and then TJ, Psalms 33:11. Then we're going to read here, if you want to read Charles and Jeremiah, then 2 Peter, and end with Psalms. So, Aura, Esther 4:14.
For if you are together for this of time, they shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to you from another place. But who in thy father's house shall be destroyed? And who knoweth whether you are called to the kingdom for such a time as this?
So this is a verse about God's plan and how individuals are placed in specific situations for a purpose, often to fulfill a divine plan. The verse highlights that God's timing and placement of people are not random but deliberate, with the potential for significant impact on others. It encourages believers to embrace their unique role in God's large plan, even when facing uncertainty or fear. TJ, Psalm 33:11.
The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations.
So here emphasizes how God's unwavering and eternal plan for the world and for individuals, it means that God's purpose and intentions are steadfast and will not be thwarted. This provides comfort and assurance, especially during uncertain times, knowing that God's love and power will see his plans through. Charles, would you read Jeremiah 1:5?
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nation.
So it signifies that God has a specific plan and a purpose for each individual's life, even before their birth. It highlights that God's foreknowledge, love, and intentionally in creating individuals for His divine purpose. Crystal, would you read 2 Peter 3:9?
The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance.
So God's passions and desire for all people to be saved, rather than a predetermined plan for individual lives, it highlights that God's delay in judgment is not due to unfulfilled promises or lack of concern, but rather His desire for repentance and reconciliation with Him. The verse is often interpreted as a call to go and evangelize, and reminded that God's timing is different from human perception. Angie, would you read Psalms 32:8?
I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with
So here's how God's promise to guide and direct believers. It highlights how God's active role in leading individuals along the best path for their lives, offering wisdom, instruction, and loving care. This guidance is not automatic, but requires a willingness to learn and follow God's lead. So I'm going to... I already show you some pictures of when I was a kid, when we met with Aura, when we got married, and... Not everything was easy and good. There was some difficult times. There was a lot of things going on before we got married, during our marriage. It's not that I'm just showing the good things. It's how God was having a purpose to be ready to get kids and everything. So, before we got married, we got a franchise of ice cream shop. This was right when we got it. That was right after we remodeled the place. And I shared that with Jim at the church on the park, because I was wearing an apron. I was helping cooking the hamburgers. I was wearing an apron. It was a red apron with the name Sarita on the side. So it was an apron from our ice cream shop. And my point here, like I was saying, not everything was always good. Not everything was always easy. There were some difficult times. So when we got married... I was working in the government, and my contract is ready to be expired. When it was ready to be expired, before I was ending my contract, the government changed. It was a transition of a government. So the new government started putting in their own people, 3 or 4 months before my contract was over. And I was working with another 6 or 7 people, and there were 3 or 4 of us. We were doing a good job trying to do our best. We were working for the government, but we were showing that we were doing good things. So when these new people came in, they were direct from the new government leaders, and the thing is, they were doing so many corruption things and started doing so bad things. So my contract was never renewed because I was doing a good job. So they didn't want the good people to be. I would say they didn't want the good people to be there to see what they were going to do. So the thing is, already married at that time, and so I was doing also a private jobs like remodeling, a little constructions. I was doing a little bit of what I was because I study architecture, so I was doing but then the job was going a little bit slow down. And the thing is, my point is here. I remember how the ice cream shop that we own, it was a franchise, but how sometimes we didn't even have money to pay like propane in the house, and it was coming from here. I mean, we were not living from this because it was a small place, but it was how God was helping us to relieve sometimes with a little amount of money coming from this place. So it was like, probably sometimes when Isabel was a baby, buying the milk, the formula was coming from here. So like I say, it was not how God's plan was preparing us to be faithful in Him, reading the Bible, going to church, giving, and how we were getting ready to all that God was planning. And I already shared with you what faith happened to our life. So it was like the way that it was God preparing us our life to be ready to all things that happen later. And there was a lot of, like I said, after that, I found I was doing a more construction works. I was doing a lot of. I met a guy who wanted to do a little hospital, so I was doing all the designings and blueprints. So that helped us for a couple months. Then I was doing some another houses, another buildings, small buildings things. So it started going, growing, and then I find a job that I was there for 9 years before until we came. So I'm going to share that later on. So then during, I'm going to read this, and again I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them on my Father which is in heaven. Like I said, we were praying with Aura, asking for everything that we needed to, and showing, trying to show our faithful that way. And this is, there's Isabel on top when she was 2 years old, and this is the day that Aura got baptized. And this is on the water, on the bay. It's almost on the ocean. So that was on our church. And I'm going to share something that happened in my work that I was telling you that when I was there for 9 years. So I'm going to show some projects that I was doing there, and then I'm going to share why I'm showing this to you. So this is on the left. This is like a before picture of like a meeting room. There's a after picture that what we did. Here's like auditorium, how it was on the left, how it ends on the right. There was like, this was the cafeteria before, on the right. And then this is the cafeteria at the right, after. So here's the aerial view of what it was. Before, when I get in that job, it was only this building. There was the classrooms, the administration. There was I was working from a public university. There was the same one that I went to Guatemala City. So this one has in each state of the Guatemala has one planet, and each one doesn't have all the careers that are on the main one, the big one in the city, but it has like four or five. So I started working there like as a planifier. to do like remodeling places, to do new projects, to build new classrooms. So this is the before picture and this is the after picture. So this is the main building. After the 9 years that I was there, we did asphalt on the parking lot, a new parking lot. This is a gym. This is the cafeteria. These are new classrooms, bathrooms. This is psychological clinics and some paths that we did. So my point here is, I think I shared with you last time, how is that this university was there for already 3 years and it was not changing anything. So I started working with this principal. He's a Christian guy. So we start going through the city to the main office to ask for help. Not help like I want this or I want that, but we went there like with the drawings of what we planned to do, with the budget of what it was going to cost. So we were not going just that we want that. So we were going prepared, like, and it was like going to the main office, going to another place in the main university that has projects, that they do projects. There were like three different offices. Also, we went to the municipal court in the town. We went to the government also with like the congressmen. So we were asking and not asking because we wanted to, because it was like it was needed to grow up because there were so many more students. My point is here, like, we were going to one meeting and they said, no, we don't have money right now. So we went back 2 weeks later and no, we don't have it right now. So we probably went like 8-9 times to the same place to ask for help. At the 10th time, they say, oh, okay, you can have this. We were asking like probably 10 projects and they will give us 2. So we have remained 8. Those 8, we went another place. So we were like, and there's a verse that I want to share, like 2 Corinthians 5:7, that for ye walk by faith, not by sight. My point is here, like, we were doing by faith what we were doing because we know there was no money on the institution to do it, but we were going to find it. And the other point is how the parable of the talents, you can find it in Matthew 25:14-30. The thing is here, like, after so many years of doing this, it was like, I was there for, like I said, 9 years. On the year 7, we had a lot of things done. So the principal invite another principals from other extension from the same university, from another towns, from other states or departments. They came, they were like I said, they were going to be 22 total. Probably 15 came. And like 4 or 5 get to him and I and say, oh, I'm really surprised, how can you be doing all this stuff with no money? And they were like, can you tell me the secret? What is the secret of this? So we always say, like, is faith is to be grateful with God, and to one of the things is that, Like I said before, it's too bad that Guatemala is a so beautiful, nice country, but it's too bad there's so much corruption in every place, and even in these institutions. And we were not doing that. We were investing all our time and the funds on doing the best thing. So the thing is, like, I'm pointing the talents because some other principals, they didn't understood what it was that we were doing, and they went to the main office to Guatemala and said, hey, how come they are having so much and I'm not having anything? And the thing is, we were showing, like, we were given 5 talents, we were planning on multiplying. We were not just saving or not doing anything with it. So we were planning and showing the people. And the thing is here, a lot of other government from the government institutions were asking us to host in our classrooms, in our auditorium, like hospitals and health institutions. They were asking us to, they can do their meetings in our place because we have nice places with air conditioner, nice bathrooms, a lot of things. So my point is, we were showing that we can do it with less, we can do a lot, and then grow up, and how God was, His grace was with us all the time. And like I said, there was not always perfect things. There were some bad things during everything. Bad, I would say, a lot of things. So I'm going to move up for the next one. I want to conclude with this one here. And now, abundant faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of this is charity. I'm pointing this because on the Spanish version, the charity, it's pointed like love. So it's like, this is when Paul concludes his discourse on love standing. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of this is love. This verse emphasizes that while faith and hope are essential, love is the most important virtue, especially in the Christian context. Love is considered the greatest because it is eternal, while faith and hope will eventually be fulfilled and superseded by something greater, the direct presence of God. I'm pointing this because at the end, I want to share you with all that we have been through together with Aura and my family. The thing that we always is with us is the love. So I just want to share, and like I said, there's a lot of things that I, 1 hour is not enough to show how God has been in my life, in our marriage life. But I share a little bit of you today, and I don't know if any one of you want to share something right now. We have a couple, we still have a couple of minutes. Yes, Pam.
I did want to say that a lot of your adventure sounds a little bit familiar because on Sunday nights, we used to meet Sunday nights for prayer, and your mom was always giving us praise and update and reason for praying for you. So you had this group, small group of people praying with you, for you, along this whole journey. So it's exciting to see these things, that God was faithful to you as yes. you were obedient to Him.
Thank you, Pam. Yeah, I.
Thanks for sharing your family with us, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Enjoy.
Yes. So
why did your brother come to America early?
He decided when he went to high school, when he was done high school, he decided it was time to move up. Probably he, because my grandfather, he was an electrician. I'm a brother, he studied at high school, he studied like we do there, like here in town, there's the Career Center. So we have that at that, like on the school week, we can go through the last 3 years of high school, we can go to like a career, like a technical career. So I went to drawing of construction when I was in high school, and he went to electrician. So probably when we used to come here every 2 years, he noticed, we know that my granddad, he was an electrician, but he probably noticed that he wanted to do that for life, and there was, probably he noticed that the staying in Guatemala was not a big opportunity like here. So that was probably the main reason that he moved up. He was more like, mature to go from home, and I was always like, trying to take care of my parents, probably. That's why I didn't move up too far. So, and he moved up here. He was only 17 years old.
Wow.
He's been here for 32 years.
And where does he live now?
In Raymore?
In Raymore.
Yeah.
He was close
by. Yeah. Yeah, we get, like last week we were celebrating Father's Day at his house. We always get, they came to soccer to see my kids last week. So, yeah. Anybody else has something to share, to tell us? And like I said, I'm sorry, sometimes my pronunciation, I'm trying to do my best still. So are we ending on prayer, or are we going to show the...
Yeah, you're all done then.
Yeah, I'm done here. Thank you.
Yeah, we have just a quick video. Brian did his...
I'm going to use this one here. Oh, sorry.
You can plug me in here. I want to stop.
All right.
Christians.
There we go.
Oh, yeah.